Well, marketing's such a boring word, Abby, isn't it? Like, I wish we could come up with, wish we could come up with something more exciting. I mean, I've played with it over the years, you know, growth strategists or comms or brand people. I don't know. There's just such awful generic words.
Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast, where we reimagine and redefine sales in a digital world. In this new series, we have absolutely scoured the world to bring you only the best of the very best. We will be working with each of the thought leaders to unpack all of their years of experience, their pearls of wisdom, and nuggets of gold into bite-sized chunks that will enable you to redefine your sales. Welcome to the Redefining Sales Podcast. My name's Abby White. I'm the CEO of Sales Redefined and host of the Redefining Sales Podcast. Now, I am so unbelievably excited to share this episode with you today. Today, we have the incredible Sharon Williams, founder and CEO of Taurus. Taurus is an incredible marketing agency based out of Sydney who have done the most incredible things over the past 20 plus years. In this conversation with Sharon, I actually genuinely think I'm going to call it. It's a big call. I'm going to say it's a must listen to for every one of our listeners, because whether you are a CEO or a founder, whether you're a sales professional, whether you're a marketer, there is something in there for you in this conversation. And just the pearls of wisdom and the way things Sharon is able to simplify and put things was just incredible. I found myself in the conversation taking so many notes. So we talked about what's coming up for 2023. If Sharon had a crystal ball, what does she predict is going to be in store for us, and how do we prepare for 2023? We talked about business growth journeys, what have been the top 2 to 3 things on Taurus's journey of 20 plus years, and also how she stood the test of time and how she's evolved and moved with the times and stayed current and reinvented herself every few years. That was a fascinating part of our conversation. We talked about how you can build a personal brand, how you can leverage PR, how you drive results, how you execute on your strategy, how you hire top talent. Honestly, I can't quite believe that we unpacked so much in this conversation in about 45 minutes straight. So it is a must listen to. So before we dive into the conversation with Sharon, I'm actually just going to read a few nuggets from her bio for you so you can hear a little bit more about Sharon Williams. She's someone that I've personally looked up to and really admired and respected in the industry for quite a number of years. And she's someone that I've sort of been around and across for quite a while and just have the utmost respect for as someone who just walks her talk. So a little bit about Sharon. Sharon is a public speaker, personal brand expert, blogger, CEO, media commentator, and has a no bull approach. And you'll hear about Sharon's bullseye methodology that's been the key to her success. If that wasn't enough, she's also an international marketer, entrepreneur, editorial contributor, and a mother, and her children are delightful. And her experience and knowledge that she brings to the table is just an unbeatable combination with all of those different lenses that she brings to the table. Sharon established Taurus, a boutique integrated marketing and PR agency, back in 1995 after a successful career in marketing and management across the UK, Europe, and Asia. And Taurus has since gone on to help well over 1,000 businesses. And we talk about in this conversation the bullseye methodology that they use. So grab your coffee, grab your pad, grab your pen. I promise you there's so many nuggets of gold. It's unbelievable. And enjoy this conversation with the phenomenal Sharon Williams. Welcome to the Redefining Sales Podcast. This week, I am so excited. We have the incredible Sharon Williams from Taurus Marketing joining us. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi, Abby. Lovely to be here.
I am really excited. I'll actually embarrass Sharon if that's even possible. I was just telling her just now, years ago, my husband came across Sharon and was like, oh, you've got to check out this lady. She's brilliant. She's just like doing all these incredible things. You've got to check her out. And I was just saying to Sharon the first time I met her, I was all intimidated and nervous because I'd seen all these incredible things that she was achieving. So it's been a long time coming getting you on the podcast.
Oh, Abby, that's wonderful. Well, I love your work and we're watching you go from strength to strength, which is so exciting. You deserve it.
Oh, thank you. So I'm going to jump in because, as I just sort of spoke to, you have an amazing brain that we want to unpack and get our hands on some of your insights and experience and knowledge. I want to really start with the tourist marketing journey because you have built this incredible award-winning business, like I said, that I've just looked at and gone, wow, that is incredible if you could build even half of that. And you've obviously done that over the past 20 years or so. Big question, if you had to unpack some of your journey and sort of pinpoint two or three things that you feel have been really pivotal to your success and to your growth journey, what would you put that down to?
I think there's a couple of things. One, if you do what you love, doesn't feel like work. So if you're excited every morning to come to work and do what you love, then it's not hard. It's not as hard as trudging through something that you're not interested or excited about. So I've loved what I do. And then the other thing is tenacity. When it does get hard, you just have to keep going. And that requires some energy and some passion. And then I'm a big believer, like we've discussed before, Abby, is you put people around you who help you on the journey. So good to have great mentors around you.
I love that. Have you always stuck with one mentor, or as the years have gone by, you've changed and needed a different mentor for a different phase of the journey that you're at? How have you approached mentors?
The good thing is that if you're open to mentors, what happens is you learn and you absorb all that, and then you can move on to the next mentor. So a true mentor won't mind that. Because their job is to train you and advise you and counsel you to grow within your own capacity to grow. So it's inevitable that you'll outgrow a mentor. So I've been lucky enough to have many mentors over a long period of time.
Yeah, I love that. I've always found it's like different people speak to me at a different point in time, depending on where I'm at.
Yep, the universe tends to bring if you put it out there.
Yeah. So on that note, the other question I want to ask is around, you know, standing the test of time and moving with the times. You know, you've been in the PR and the marketing world for over 20 years with tourist marketing, and it obviously is, marketing has changed so much. It's grown, it's evolved. I was talking to someone the other day and they were laughing, telling me about their fax marketing campaigns. And I was having a field day talking about that. It was brilliant. And what I think is actually really interesting is I personally live in fear a little bit of the Netflix blockbusters situation, that blockbusters kind of were quoted as saying, well, Netflix isn't even on the radar. They didn't keep up. They didn't move with the times. They didn't evolve. So for you to have such a long-standing career and still be at the top of your game doing incredible things, you've got to do that. You've got to evolve. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how you've stayed so, you know, current and moved and evolved?
So the good thing is that what I've chosen to do, marketing and PR and personal branding, has only grown over the 27 years that I've been in business. So it's something that, while the tools that communication are delivered with have changed, so telex, fax machine, who would have dreamt of the internet and the mobile phone, those tools have changed, but what I've been doing has not changed since the beginning of time. We're storytellers and we're brand builders. So I'm fortunate that I've chosen an area of business that hasn't changed. But what that means is that even though I'm doing the same thing over that period of time with a different set of tools or with a different toolkit, I've always had the same methodology and it's always worked. And that methodology plays out with every customer and every piece of work we ever do, and even on ourselves. And then what we have to do as our own brand is reinvent every few years, which is fun because I get something to play with that's mine, and we blow it up and make it look different, same but different every year.
Can you talk to us about your methodology? Because actually I think it's something that in your messaging, in your own methodology, your bullseye methodology, it comes across so strongly and impactful. Do you mind, can we ask you about your methodology and your approach? Because I know you put over 1,000 plus businesses through your sort of proven methodology.
Yes, I think we're over 1,000 now. And the bullseye methodology is all about working backwards from the end game. And the idea that if you were throwing a dart at a dartboard, you'd want to hit center. So the center is always the business dollars, what we want to achieve in revenue. And that is for a charity or a business. And then we work the circles of influence from that to make them happen. Marketing, business revenue, then marketing plans, internal comms, external comms, all the different toolkit that I've got now to play with it. And that's why my job's so much fun, because every year I get a new thing to play with. There were apps, then there's crypto, then there's TikTok, then there's sorts of these avenues of communication grow every year for me to play with. And those tools are fit round the wheel of the methodology, the bullseye. And then, of course, what wraps that bullseye up, that target image, is return on investment and actually delivering tangible results and KPIs. I've never worked for anybody who didn't demand results.
And I love that. I think that's probably why it resonates with me so strongly, because I think, unfortunately, some marketing, and I'm making a broad brush statement here, has a really bad reputation for not delivering an ROI. And I know you've always really looked at, well, how are we going to drive the result? How are we going to drive the outcome? Because otherwise you've got to ask the question, you know, why are we doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if we all had the answers and we knew what was going to bring an ROI, there wouldn't be a need for marketing departments, and we'd just go out and do exactly what we all wanted and bring in the dollars. And the fact is that we have to fight for the dollars, and we have to test. And because we're selling mostly to humans change and are different, and we have to adapt our approach to be able to bring them into our world, which is what communications is all about. So I've loved it, Abby. I've had such fun in my career, and the fact that I've got different tools to be able to learn, like, I mean, at the moment I'm consumed with digital marketing and SEO and selling via the web. I mean, that's my new big thing, and the digital transformation of businesses. And of course, we've had digital transformation for ages, but now we're bringing digital transformation back into small businesses and even professional services businesses. And I'm really on that bandwagon at the moment and enjoying the learning that I'm having to do to get across that.
I love that you're always learning. That is also, I think, you know, I look at themes when I'm interviewing on the podcast, and what themes can I pick up and what can I learn from people like yourself. And I love that there's that always learning mindset. There's no, well, I've been doing this for 27 years. It's the always learning.
Absolutely. And as a leader, I've had the absolute privilege of being a leader and a manager and a CEO for 27 years. And one is always learning in that role as well. One never quite gets there. And I'm sure people have come through Taurus and experienced my leadership, but I would hope that my leadership has grown and evolved over the years. And there is still more to learn. Every day I learn something. Every day I get to improve the way I do things. And surely that's what keeps us excited.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's, yeah, I think there's no fun to be had in standing still. So no. On that note, I'm curious, you mentioned there about reinventing yourself every sort of 3 odd years, but also staying true to the sort of core principles of Taurus. How do you approach that reinventing yourself process? Like for any business that's listening and going, actually, we need a bit of a refresh. We need a bit of a dust off and a bit of a reinvention. How do you approach that?
Yep. So I think it's being very in tune with what's happening out there in your world. So in industry, there's constant change. Constant change is here to stay. As a marketeer, as a business person, just as you think you've got it right, so the world changes. So it's being on top of that change and making sure that you're relevant and ready to be answering the need of that world as it evolves. So I watch, I read. I think there's a lot of intuition, having been in business this long. And then when you see the change, then you gear up to be able to either drive initiatives out there. For example, when apps came along, we launched Taurus App Launcher. When crypto started building, we launched Taurus Crypto. When personal branding became so much more important in the workforce, we launched Taurus Profile. So those things are being ideated as we see the change happen and meeting that demand.
And how do you know when, how do you know the ones to pick and when? So for example, crypto, my perception of it is there was a lot of talk of, oh, is this just a fad? Is it going to blow over? Is it here to stay? Too early, not too early, you know, when do I embrace and adopt? There was sort of a lot of questions. So how do you pick the ones to jump on?
Sure. Well, I think the beauty of that is that you and I have always worked in tech, and we're both coming from a tech background. So we're pretty good at sniffing out the trends. And there's, of course, a lot of trends with tech that do and don't work. You know, the Y2K was one of those. And if you think of some of the technologies that have come over the years that didn't work out, one has to have a very good sniff factor to work out way up whether they are going to take off or not. And crypto has worked out well for some and not for others, as has technology. And right now, of course, crypto is in the doldrums and is in the dumps. But for a while, certainly, a lot of people became very rich. A lot of people didn't, but a lot of people did. And I was working for technologies that were trying to make that world, crypto world, safer. I was passionate about that. And also they were entrepreneurs that I've worked in with for a very long time, 20 years plus, who were proven and had done a lot of research. So again, I mean, life is a risk and a journey, and not everything works. I mean, really, if you think about Taurus App Launcher, we got that off the ground and launched a lot of apps, but now there is much less marketing required to launch apps because apps a lot now are free rather than even being made money out of. So Taurus Crypto was a great opportunity. We earned well out of it last year and the year before. And what's great is we usually get an initiative, trial it, deliver it, test it, and then we name it and it becomes a service and a product. So we don't usually create something that we haven't actually had a few runs on the board and won at.
Yeah, I love that. I really, really love that. It's funny, we will always do something ourselves as a campaign or use a supplier or whatever it might be first. We're the sort of number one guinea pig before putting it out there.
Yeah.
So what are things... Oh, sorry, you go.
It's a good practice.
Oh, absolutely. I want to step back a little bit to marketing, because marketing is such broad brush and it means something different to different people. And, you know, you have conversations with people that, oh, I can't stand marketing, or marketing's this. Yes. I lined up 10 people, they'd all have a different perception of what it is. What do you wish more people knew about marketing?
Well, marketing is such a boring word, Abby, isn't it? Like, I wish we could come up with something more exciting. I mean, I've played with it over the years, you know, growth strategists or comms or brand people. I don't know. There's just such awful generic words. And so marketing, geez, it's so boring. But anyway, marketing, what is marketing? Well, marketing is supposed to be taking what you've got out to the people who want it and encouraging them to buy and allowing them to find it easily and purchase. And that's actually really exciting, whereas the word marketing is really very outdated. And yes, it's a bit like HR, isn't it? We kind of get a groan. Marketing, oh, the marketing department. You kind of go to marketing and give them an idea and it might get implemented 10 years down the track. So I don't think we've got a very good rap as marketeers, but I do think we've got a good rap if we say, and what I say I do, is I build people, brands and businesses. And I think that's really exciting. So the people that work for me, I build them, build people, so personal brands. Very, very proud that a lot of our Taurus alumni are out there as leaders in their field, head of marketing at Canva, head of marketing at big organizations, and you know, taking that training that they got with me and with Taurus out into the world, and then putting those that methodology that we had through these great brands. So I'm very, very proud of that. I literally get out of bed and that to do that, and it turns me on about my career and what we've achieved as a business. And then of course I build brands. And that's exciting too, to build a brand out of nothing. They're the best when you get them totally, you know, new, or they get a business that's been built but had never really branded. And then I build businesses. So the tangible thing is that when you get a company from the top 300 ASX listed into the top 200, then that's a significant move. When you see revenue goals being met, I think that's very exciting. But the word marketing doesn't really sum up any of that, does it?
And you're right, it's got such a bad rap and bad. Yeah, just different interpretation to everybody.
Well, I love yours, marketing. You see, you're clever. You've done something different. And I think that's fabulous. And marketing should be linked with sales. I mean, it should have a revenue KPI. So you and I have always been very aligned on what we're trying to achieve for companies. It's no good having a great marketing department or a great brand and doing all these campaigns if the sales team can't sell. And vice versa. So very frustrating for a sales team who don't get what they need from marketing. And as you know, there's always been this loggerhead between the two traditionally. You know, whereas you and I feel very much the same about this, that they should be intertwined. And of course, now we've got MarTech to help us. So we are moving faster and more furiously and more competently than probably we've ever been able to move before.
Yeah. And do you think there's also a level of, on that note, you can probably also have a bit more attribution and tracking and so on to be able to go, well, hang on, this is the part that the marketing component played in that journey and in the story. And so you can, it's sort of historically, I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I feel like sometimes it was hard to track, and it still is. But I think now you can probably, with some of the MarTech that's available, be able to track attribution a little bit better and therefore be able to go, hang on, this is actually the part of that story that the marketing participated in. Do you know where I'm going with that?
Yes, absolutely. I think you're right. And what we've got is a much better set of tools now to be able to measure than we used to. I still feel that it's difficult and we don't have a tool to be able to measure the combination of the toolkit. So if we do a direct marketing campaign on a MarTech platform, we can see the results. But do we know those results weren't affected by a recent event or a ad campaign or public relations and editorial, or whether someone met someone at a function and just passed on a referral? I think it's that part that is the missing link to what we do, is not being able to always join those dots up. I mean, we won a new piece of business the other day from an advert that we've got on Military Road at the Cremorne Theatre, and we got a call directly because they'd seen our name up there. Now that's great, but actually, when we got talking to them, they'd heard about us from our reputation and they'd seen us speak at an event. And so that initial call, unless we'd questioned it, was a culmination of things. Mm. So I still think it's difficult and complex enough to be interesting.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And frustrating. I mean, Abby, and frustrating, you know. What do we spend our marketing dollars on? What where do we go with them? But I'm a firm believer that public relations is an absolute must-have in your marketing toolkit, as is database. I think your database is key. And, of course, now also social media and personal branding. I would say that they're the four key things that one needs now to be successful if you're going to build a brand.
So can I tap into the personal branding part of that? Because my perception right now is we used to historically think of personal branding very much along the lines of, oh, the CEO and the founder needs a personal brand. I think what's interesting right now, you know, for us, we work with a lot of sales professionals. I think they need to have a personal brand. And it's interesting the part they play in the journey as well. And I'm finding that really, really fascinating how it's more people across the organization that do also need to have a personal brand. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious to get your take on that. And the second part to that question, I'm sort of going to double you up a little bit, is I'm finding there's a reluctance in that. So we're finding that some salespeople, they'll happily present to C-level execs a boardroom, but ask them to post on LinkedIn, and I appreciate that's just one aspect, but or put themselves out there in any shape or form, personal brand, and suddenly just absolutely the fear factor, and I can relate to that, crops up. So can you talk to us about, it's a big topic there, but personal brand beyond just the CEO?
Yeah. Abby, you are so right. People are reluctant to do this. You know, as much as they're consumers of social media and consumers of LinkedIn, people are strangely reluctant to put themselves out there often with what they're doing to earn a living. And everyone has a right to do whatever they want to because it's a free world. So unfortunately, we live in a free world. And so I don't think people should be pressured to do it, but I think they should be invited to do it. And I think that should be a firm invitation, because those that don't do it run the risk of not being true to their commitment. So if you're championing a brand and you work for a brand and yet you never comment, like, or engage with that brand, then really, where do you stand? Where do you really stand on your commitment to that brand? So I think it raises questions. And it also gives, it allows you to miss an opportunity to make a connection and endorse a buying decision that may well be well on its way. And I think that's sad. I don't think people really realize that. I don't think they realize that, oh, actually, tardiness or laziness or just I don't feel like doing it or it doesn't suit me or I'm not that kind of person. Actually, that those sorts of attitudes and behaviors relate directly back to the success you're going to have or you're not going to have in the corporate and enterprise space. And if you're not there and you're selling, the other salesperson could be and would be and will be, and your competitor will take your space. So I feel it's more about, it's a bit like an exhibition. You know, you get trapped into these exhibitions in a way that you've almost got to turn up, because if you'll be noticed if you don't. Even if they're not necessarily bringing you the return, the fact that you don't go does you more harm than if you were there. So as a marketeer, it's not always about actual numbers and dollars on that one action. It's often a combination of things that get someone over the line. And like you, I'm a firm believer in LinkedIn. I mean, I at breakfast will make, you know, 15 or 20 connections or comments, and I've got sales appointments by the time I get to the office. It is the most extreme, and it's great to be able to catch up with people. And it's one of the best tools we've got. You and I have always strongly believed in LinkedIn.
So how do you, for anyone who is going, yep, okay, cool, from what you're saying, I appreciate the need that I need to step up and I need to do it. How do you help people take those first steps and get out of their comfort zone? Because I have found it fascinating, like I said, hugely experienced people, hugely confident in terms of stand up and present to a client, but then any shape or form of, you know, personal brand related activity, be it, hey, we need to do your latest headshot, or hey, let's go be on LinkedIn and be active, or whatever it might be, all of a sudden, it sort of seems to crumble down. So how do you take some of the first steps in terms of building your confidence or putting yourself out there?
Yeah. So I think the answer is training and KPIs built into job descriptions. So I was reading a job description of a young person the other day, and they have to post on LinkedIn a number of times a week as part of their job description. So how interesting is that, that they've actually been KPI to do it. So KPIs into job descriptions, training courses, group fun, make it fun, make it a KPI that's fun. we actually have meetings where we train our team and demonstrate so that they've got a chance to copy. You can lightheartedly shame people, not in a bad way to make them feel bad, but make them have a competition and run things like that. But isn't it a shame, Abby, that it's not kind of taught in schools and not brought up that, you know, a personal brand is something that you really have from the time that you're born and you're being brought up? A lot of people make bad decisions very young, before they ever get into the workforce. And if they'd had a personal brand conversation by their teachers or parents, or their mentors, you know, some of those decisions wouldn't have happened. So I do think it's important. It is one of my bugbears and my things that I champion, from school children right up to teenagers, right up to corporates. And of course, there's not everybody out there that's working in a corporate. We've got small businesses, we've got fast moving consumer goods, we've got people in professional services. And if you have a personal brand that you work on with purpose, so don't be something that you're not. Personal branding isn't about trying to be something you're not. But if you can take who you are and magnify it and amplify it with purpose, with integrity, then you will find that whatever you're doing, whether you're head of a charity, whether you're a teacher, whether you're running a company, that process will slide faster for you and make it easier. And what it does, by the way, is it makes it very clear who you are and what you stand for, which means that people will either like you or they won't. But at least you've stood up for what you stand for. And then they have a very clear chance to be attracted to you and what you do or not. And as you know, being in sales and being in business, we actually want to get rid of the people, the time wasting, because we don't want to waste people's time with them coming to us if we're not their thing. So let's be clear about what is our thing so they find us easily and we don't waste time talking to people who we're not their thing.
And how do you feel? I think some people feel nervous, and I certainly have put myself in this camp at times, that for those where you get, you know, the negative comment or the I think that's sort of some of the fear is, oh, if I put this opinion out there or I put this thought out there or this is what I stand for, that, you know, you may or may not get some shape or form of backlash or negativity that comes with part and parcel of putting yourself out there. So what's your sort of thoughts around that part of the equation?
I think that's a very clever thing and sensible thing to raise. The fact is that if you're in a position of authority and if you're in a position of leadership, one has to be careful what one puts out in public. And often our private and personal views are not necessarily the right ones to display, particularly with our new woke world that we're living in, and our politically correct world. Certainly some of the things that we would like to comment on about, it's best to keep quiet. Because it actually would deflect from your personal brand than actually build it. So I think it's one has to conduct oneself in a sensible way without attracting negative comment. And that doesn't mean you don't have an opinion, but one has to think about keeping away from polarizing topics and conversations. And if you want to do, there's no harm in being polarizing. I'm pretty strongly opinionated myself, but there's no point putting something out there if you know it's going to alienate half your target audiences. So it's about being sensible not to do that. And if you put up something pretty safe but educative and someone has been unpleasant, you can delete the comment. Mm-hmm. You can delete the comment or you can ignore it. I don't know about you, Abby, but I very rarely get any negative comments on LinkedIn or on social. And I don't post everything I think because I'm representing a company. You know, it's not just me. I mean, if it was just me and I didn't have a leadership position on multiple organizations, I could say what I like and not care. but I don't. I represent organizations and have to be mindful of how I present them.
Yeah.
And I do think it's important to focus on the fact that a personal brand is about being yourself with purpose and on purpose. It's not about you being anything you're not. So when I work with leaders, it's about finding out who they are and directing them into a public persona that amplifies the good in them and their core values. It's not about going, oh my gosh, you've got to be something that you're not. You might need a confidence boost and be trained to be a better speaker or a better professional on LinkedIn, but you're not going to be told or taught to say things that just don't ring true with you as a human. That's not what it's about. It's about taking who you are and amplifying it.
I love that. You just said that so well. I love that. God, you know when someone says something, you're like, oh, that's brilliant. I'm keeping that one. That's going to be a one I listen back to. I've got to tap into your other superpower around PR. So you listed out four different aspects that have sort of contributed to growth and that everyone should be looking at. And you talked about PR, which I know is a huge strength and superpower for you and the Taurus team. Can you talk to us a little bit around that? Because again, PR is, and I'll actually own this one, I think I've misunderstood in the past what PR is and isn't, and it's been a learning curve for me recently as I've started to engage with it. So can you talk to us when you're saying PR is one of the four things you should consider, what do you mean by that and what should we be considering?
Okay, so paid advertising is terrific if you're a consumer brand. You know, you wouldn't not have a consumer brand and you wouldn't have a consumer brand and not think of advertising. But advertising is paid for. You design a beautiful ad and you pay for that space. PR, public relations, is working out where your target audiences are and tailoring third-party editorial commentary to those individuals. So it's someone else saying something good or commenting about your brand, which isn't you paying for that space. It's actually somebody who has an editorial head or journalistic head saying, I think that brand is authentic enough and interesting enough for us to talk about it and print something or post something online. And I think that editorial third-party testimonial and endorsement is invaluable. It's thought leadership. It's putting you out there in front of people and allowing them again to see who you are and what you stand for in terms of your personal brand. And what it is it's people that are not paid to do so. They are actually making a judgment based on you and who's out there in the market. And I think that's really valuable. And these days, when you think of any of the big companies, the person at the head and the leadership team are hugely instrumental in the success of that brand. And I would be very, I'm always very keen to see the CEO or the spokesperson of a company out there in the media.
That's interesting. And how, if people haven't been on that path and been on their journey and it's almost overwhelming of, I've been meaning to do that and I know that I should do that, but how, where do you start other than engaging someone fantastic like yourself, which is a very good answer too.
Oh, Abby. I think Google is a great place to start. You know, Google, what is PR? What does it do for you? There's great books out there on PR. PR examples. PR, if you Google PR examples, you can get the Public Relations Institute. Even just being aware of things that you like personally. You know, what got your attention yesterday? What got your attention this morning? What was it? Was it an ad? Was it something you read? Was it something that you saw an ad, then you read something, then you heard about it? So public relations is, Google's a great place to start, and also looking at your own experiences of what you like and what you've noticed. So in other words, your own little network of case studies of what works for you.
Mm. Okay, I like that. That's a good one. And it's a good time to be talking about it because at the point that this conversation is going to go out to our lovely audience, a lot of people are probably going to be in 2023. I had to think about that then. What year are we in? 2023 planning mode, preparation mode, as we're sort of starting to get sorted. What, you know, if you had a crystal ball, what do you think is ahead for us in 2023 and what can people start to be thinking about and planning now to prepare for that if you've got a crystal ball?
Yeah. Look, the economy and the environment is going to be taxing, possibly, and interest rates, inflation. So I would suggest that everybody have their emergency fund ready so that if the business does fall on difficult times, you've got that cash flow protection. And then I would say be bullish. Go out there. We've seen this before many, many years. We've had difficult years. And go for it. And literally go for it and don't be shy. So on the one hand, make sure you've got your safety net of revenue there, little pool of emergency fund, just like the barefoot investor. Have your emergency fund there so that you've got the money if things do go a little pear-shaped. But on the other hand, no brands do well in a year like next year promises to be about going away and hiding. There's no point in hiding, unless, of course, you've got so much business you don't know what to do with it. So I would suggest that you workshop and get the team in a room, look at the industry trends, and actually go for something exciting in 2023. It'll be the first year that we are relatively COVID-free. We've still had a bit of COVID affecting us this year. Next year, with any luck, we won't have those sorts of handbrakes on us being able to get out there. The borders are opening. Consumers are have pulled money through the whole pandemic. And of course, now they're being hit in the pocket, but they've been hit in the pocket after a time of having the majority having quite a flush time with the government handouts. So I would say be brave, go for it.
I love that. I think it's what I love about you. It speaks to me. So on that note, if you decide, right, going to be brave, going to go for it, 2023, this is my year. We've got the team in the room. We've decided what we're going to go for. How do you make the execution happen? Because what I find fascinating, you know, if you look at a lot of the research, as you would probably know better than I do, you know, it's never the lack of good ideas or the lack of good strategy. It's typically, you know, something like 2% of leaders feel confident that their strategy is going to actually get executed. And to do what you've done and to build what you've built and to get the results that you do for clients, you've got to be damn good at execution. And I know you, so I know that you would be. How do you approach that execution piece?
Well, of course, being in business for 27 years, I've got different people doing that execution over the years. I mean, some of my staff are still with me. My lovely team members are still with me after all that time. But others have passed through the business for 3 or 4 years or 2 years or 6 years or 10 years. So we're always training new people to take that execution on. And I like having my team in-house to do things, but I also use outsourced facilitators. And of course, these days you've got the internet and overseas job sites like Upwork and things like that. I tend to like to have my suppliers around me because I build strong relationships with them. But it is about process. It is about methodologies. Anyone can come into Taurus and pick up something that has been done in a certain way for many, many years. And while we blow it up with every new person and make amends, there is a way of doing it. And I think, Abby, that's just experience. You know, I've been around a long time. I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah. And with clients, when you're helping them to execute their big idea that's coming and whatever their baby is that they're working on, what sort of advice and recommendations would you give to them? Obviously, you can own the Taurus process and the Taurus piece under your leadership. But with clients, when you're sort of giving them recommendations of going, okay, cool, here's how you can go forth. What's your recommendations and advice for people?
Oh, we hold our clients very closely. So from CEO level down, marketing level to Well, really, we deal with CEOs and COOs and marketing managers, sometimes a PR manager. We hold them very close, and we try and make sure that whatever it is they need, they've got it before they know they need it. And I think that's the benefit of hindsight and benefit of experience, that we know what's going to come next. I literally know what's going to happen next. I can tell my team, just so that you know, that is going to happen. And they'll go, oh my gosh, yeah, it did. So what we do is we I think that's what clients are paying for, really. They're paying for what do I don't know? What don't I know? And what can you protect me from happening? And I think that's we've actually got some videos on our website of CEOs actually saying that. We call them more for what we shouldn't do than what we should do. So I think experience, Abby, you want to put experience around you, as well as lovely, young, energetic, new ways of doing things and new blood. We were laughing the other day at a company quarterly kickoff that we have old heads and young blood. So what we've got is experienced heads and then this lovely influx of young, wonderful people in the business that you know, give us, take up the way we used to do, we've always done things, but then make it smarter.
Yeah. I've got to ask you about that actually, around young blood and hiring the right people, because I've met, you know, plenty of your team and you hire some absolutely phenomenal people. And as you said, you know, people who have previously been under the Taurus roof have gone on to do incredible things. When you're hiring, when you're looking to bring someone in, what's the magic that you're looking for? How do you recruit such strong people?
Yep. Always hire on core values. So always hire on matched outlook on life. I've done well for the 27 years I've been in business, but I have occasionally got it wrong. When you get it wrong, it really hurts. It's not a good situation for the business, for the individual, or for the rest of the team. You don't want, if I get out of bed every day to build people, I don't want to take on someone that it doesn't work out with. That's not who I am and what I want. Always you can teach skills, but you can't teach core values. You can't teach a non-alignment of core values. So you can introduce people to core values and they're attracted to that. And that's why having a strong personal brand is good, because you attract more people the same. And the people that are not like you don't want to come near you, which is really good, because I don't want people near me who don't have my core values. It's really simple. I don't want to be liked by everyone. So core values, hire on core values and train skills.
Yeah. I love that. So before we let you go, I have to ask my one question that I ask absolutely everyone around their favorite books or business book recommendations that have been ones that you just think everyone must read this. Have you got any good recommendations for us?
Yeah. Look, I've just read Shoe Dog, which is the story of Nike. Yeah, Nike, N-I-K-E, you know, the shoe brand. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was great. David Kosh told me to read it, and I'm now buying it for all our interns. So when our interns finish with us, they get a little pack and a kit, and they get Shoe Dog. And I think that's a good story about the realities of business and how one has to work hard to get what one wants. Matthew McConaughey, he has got a great quote, you know, don't think that you're a victim. Bad things happen, difficult times happen for everybody. Don't suddenly think because they happen to you or because things aren't always easy and don't always go right that you're a victim, because you're not. And I think Shoe Dog allows us to view a business journey in its reality.
Yeah, and what I liked about that book was also how honest Phil was around some of the behind the scenes. That in the face of it, they had Nike had, you know, some of the world's leading athletes as sort of brand ambassadors and wearing their shoes at the Olympics. Yeah. And behind the scenes, they were kind of almost paycheck to paycheck and having lawsuits and banks closing. And it's some of the side that is less glamorous that you don't see in some of the realities of the world.
Yeah, that's right, Abby. Look, I've been running my business for 27 years. It's a hard road. And as soon as you get to one mountain and you go, yeah, got it, then there's another one up there. And the good thing is, there are the times when you go, when you're steaming downhill, and then when you're having to climb back up again. And that is what life as an entrepreneur and as a leader is. So any Pollyanna, you know, admissions that this is all great and all fantastic and are just not real. It's a hard road. But back to what we started with, if we love it and we love what we do, then it's a pleasant road.
Yeah. Well, thank you so, so, so much. I cannot believe how much we just managed to unpack in 45 minutes. That is absolutely incredible. Where can our audience connect with you and find you? Where are we best to send people and link people to in the show notes?
Oh, that's sweet. So taurusmarketing.com and sharonwilliams.com. So Taurus Marketing, as the bull. The bull sign, and Sharon Williams, either of those, you can find us. And on social media, it's Sharon Williams and Taurus Marketing. We'd love to welcome any of your viewers and your readers, Abby.
And as we heard, Sharon's on LinkedIn as she's having breakfast. So go connect with Sharon at breakfast time on LinkedIn. Thank you so much, Sharon. You have been absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, darling. Thank you for having me on, Abby.
Thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to receive the inside scoop on what is working right now in our highest performing campaigns, and likewise, what are the pitfalls to avoid directly to your inbox, then simply visit insidescoop.salesredefined.com.au to make sure that you receive our fortnightly newsletter with everything that you need to know to stay ahead of the pack directly to your inbox. And finally, before you leave us, don't forget to subscribe to Redefining Sales Podcast so that you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed it, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a comment or perhaps share it with a friend or colleague who you know would enjoy it. We'll see you next time.